Surviving in Singleness, episode 78.
This is the Thriving in Singleness podcast, where it's not about surviving, but thriving in this chapter of your life. Here are your hosts, Tom DeLong and Joshua Erickson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Thriving in Singleness. Josh, it's great to be back with you. You know, yeah. I love our new hosts. Taylor and Rachel are awesome. And of course, Taylor, she hasn't premiered quite yet, but don't worry, she's still there. But man, it's fun. You know, I enjoy doing episodes with you.
Yeah, it's just like riding a bike, nice tandem bike. You know, I get to sit in the back and be a fly on the wall a little bit, and then just pedal when I need to. I'm a fan because we've had so many episodes in this format, so it's kind of like, again, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
So,
and this episode in particular was awesome. Like Stacy was awesome. It was just fun talking to her, hearing about her book, hearing about her experience, and you know, of course, diving into your favorite subject about the church and singleness and talking a little bit about that. And
right towards the end,
that
can of worms got opened up. And
it did.
It's like there should be a warning sign not to talk about that around me unless you want to listen for. So, yeah, we might have went on that for a little bit. It's a dangerous topic to talk about around me.
But what were some of your biggest takeaways otherwise?
Yeah, I think it was just cool to hear a story. And just kind of see, you know, kind of what God did in her life, kind of through, you know, kind of the reason why she wrote a book, Unlocking Love. And it's just cool to see, you know, every guest we have, just to kind of see the different things that kind of, you know, the journeys that each person has and kind of what they learn and all that. Because oftentimes you can see the common thread of what God's trying to do, right? You know, she brought up surrender and, you know, we talk about that in great lengths at times. And so it's just, you know, none of these guests talk to one another really. Some guests might know each other, but you know, there's always a common thread of God's always trying to bring us closer to him, trust him more, lay down and surrender those things at his feet that we're holding on to. And relationships are often at the front of that because they're, you know, we're built for relationship, and so often we forget that we're built for relationship with God, and instead we focus so much on relationship with people, and then we get things so out of alignment. And it was just cool to hear a story and to kind of again see that common thread that we get to, you know, kind of see every episode, and you know, kind of see how God moves and kind of what His heart is for people in singleness, in marriage, and really how he's choosing to teach us those lessons, which are oftentimes, a lot of times in singleness, hard lessons to learn or hard lessons to want to learn. So yeah, it's just cool to hear another story that is just filled with kind of, you know, God's hand in someone just learning kind of how to trust God and to walk that out and see what he has in store and see what he can do with that story when you give it to him.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it was such a fun episode, and just great conversation. So I think we should just go ahead and dig right into it. So with that being said, let's go ahead and bring in Stacy Shapansky. Stacy, how are you doing today?
Hi, it's going well. I'm doing good.
Awesome. Just working through the technical difficulties. I appreciate you bearing with us.
Of course.
Yeah. Pretty wild. We learned you're up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, right? So you're like almost a neighbor to Josh, and the internet has brought us all together here. That's pretty cool.
It's a small pretty world. Wild, actually. Yeah. You don't often hear the connection that close to home, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, who's from Grand Rapids? Like,
well, there's a decent amount, but yeah, it's still a small world to,
it is.
Isn't, I think Kevin really Max just lives up that way too. I don't know if you've ever seen him around town.
You know where all the DC talk.
I keep track. I do keep track. I've been to the DC talk house. I have been to Franklin, Tennessee. I have seen the DC talk house where they recorded their albums. They did their practicing where their neighbor Miss Morgan would complain about the drumming. So, yeah, legit stuff. Anyways, beyond DC talk, Stacy, jump in. Yeah, tell. Sorry, just interrupt my little.
You said Franklin, yeah. Tennessee, and now I want to ask you about that, which might just happen after the show. But but yeah, because I'm going on an adventure, that adventure that I said, and Franklin, Tennessee was brought up.
All right. Recently.
Yeah. Anyway.
Awesome downtown area. It's really cool.
Okay. That's what I
keep an eye out for Toby Mac and Michael Tate. They live down that way.
That's why Tom went there. I don't know if you know.
My cousin actually lives in Franklin, Tennessee. And then soon enough, they're actually getting an In-N-Out burger. So that's another reason for me to go visit Franklin, Tennessee.
I haven't even ever heard
DC
of
Talk
Franklin,
and In-N-Out. That's your only two reasons.
Oh, man.
That's all. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, hi. Learning a lot about you guys.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and yeah, we'll kind of jump in from there.
Yeah. So I am an educator. I was in the classroom for 14 years, mostly teaching first grade, but I taught K through five. And now I transitioned out of the classroom into a literacy coaching position. So I get to support teachers and students around literacy, and I just love it. And I mean, a little bit more about me. I love to stay active. I go hiking, traveling. I wrote a book that just released, so that's
awesome.
Going to be part of our conversation. So I really like to write and journal and just be outside. I really feel God in nature, and so I spend as much time as I can out there.
Solid. That's awesome. So yeah, you wrote the book Unlocking Love recently, and when did you release that?
December 2nd.
Okay, nice. That's a super fresh.
Yes, as of I think what 19 days ago. What, I don't even know what day
That's super fresh. We're pre-Christmas right here, but yeah, that's awesome. So what was the primary inspiration behind your book? I didn't read the whole thing. I was able to, you know, kind of breeze through a good portion of it, but I'd love to hear about, you know, tell our listeners what was the inspiration and what is the theme throughout the book?
Sure. So the title is Unlocking Love, and the subtitle is How Being Catfish Deepened My Faith and Led Me on a Journey to Wholeness. So 7.5 years ago, when everything, and if for listeners who might not know what catfishing is, it is when you're talking to someone or you know of someone, quote unquote, and you discover along the way that they are not who they made themselves out to be. So I went through basically a season of deception, lies, betrayal, manipulation. But while I was living in it, I had my gut telling me things were not right. However, when you get kind of sucked in, it's hard to get out. And I had loved ones around me noticing. However, until I said enough was enough and I truly surrendered everything to God, that is when everything surfaced and lifted. So when everything did surface, I have heard God speak clearly into me 3 times in my life so far. And that was the first. And he said, Stacy, you're going to write a book someday for, at that time, he said, for women to feel less alone. And that was 7.5 years ago. I started writing this book 3.5 years ago after the boyfriend that I had at the time broke things off. And so this has been 3.5 years of writing, rereading my journals, healing, discovering and growing my relationship with Jesus, because you need that as a solid foundation, and discovering yourself before you can give and love someone else. That is what I truly believe. And he has been so faithful, and his goodness has just shined so brightly. But hearing his voice way back then, I always just kept that in the back of, well, in the front of my mind. I think it started in the back and then continued to creep up.
Yeah.
But now that it's out, I just, it's, and I have to preface it. I like to say this because I don't call this my book. Mm-hmm. And I call it our book because I truly believe that God has blessed me with my story to share, or his story that he's given me to share with others. So it's our book in the aspect of, this is my story that God's given me, but also like for all those who are reading it to connect to it and to discover and lift and surface their story along the way as well. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's very raw and authentic. Now that it's been released and I've been able to talk about it more and hearing others' feedback, I don't even like to say feedback, but just how they're connecting with it. I mean, that just brings back what God has spoken into me so many years ago for people not to feel less alone. So that has been a really, I guess, unexpected feeling and surprise and just like affirmation from him of their, and everybody's connecting in different ways. And so you don't necessarily have to be catfished to connect to this, because that just started my journey. What I write about is navigating relationships and figuring out healthy boundaries along the way. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, again, like I said, deepening my relationship with God and taking time to be single and really looking and feeling that singleness is a gift. Just like marriage is a gift, singleness is a gift too. And it's a, and I write about it. I'm going to quote my book right now.
Yeah.
But I am going to say a gift on page 120, when you get the book, the gift of singleness, a gift is given for different reasons and for many occasions. The gift is usually something the giver thought would make you smile, make your day, or make you feel special. Why then does society portray singleness as anything but a gift? I have learned along my journey that singleness is truly a gift, and it's a choice to see it as much. Mm-hmm. And in saying that too, like, it's not always easy. Singleness is not always easy.
Yeah.
But discovering who you are and your identity in with God, and it's worth it.
Yeah. And I do truly believe like singleness is a gift. I think it is received better when people hear it from someone else who's single. You know, for me being married, you know, getting close to 10 years now, it doesn't sound the same. You know, I can say it and I know it's true, but I can understand how there'd be some resentment there when I say it's a gift. I believe singleness is an ugly wrapped gift that looks terrible on the outside, that nobody wants it. It's left under the Christmas tree. It's the last one picked. Nobody actually wants it. It's the last one left there for the white elephant gift exchange. But then when the person decides they're going to open it up and they're going to see what's inside, there's something beautiful there. There's a lot of beauty to be found in singleness. And it's something that you don't want to miss out on that, because there's so much that can be lost in life. There's so much that can be missed. And then even if you do go into a relationship and then you look back and be like, man, like I did not appreciate that time while I had it, you know. And people that don't do their singleness well tend not to marry very well. They marry out of loneliness. They marry out of desperation. And it doesn't do you any favors.
No, it doesn't. And I feel that society, and I write about this too, of society and our culture has us on this timeline. And it's no one's timeline other than God's timeline. And we don't know that. And he doesn't have time. So it's almost like if you don't do that work for yourself and find like what the beauty you have and that you get to show to the world that he has given you, it's just wasting your life, in my opinion. And, you know, for the listeners, it's like an ebb and flow sometimes. I'm solid in where I am now, and it's taken a long time. So just like you, Tom, when you had said, you know, being married for 10 years, people might, first off, I want to say thank you for saying that and acknowledging that.
Yeah.
Although you have a heart for singles, yes, you have been married for 10 years and kind of, I don't want to say quote unquote out of the game, but in that realm. And
yeah,
to be able to connect with singles and just know that you're not alone in this journey and that there is so much beauty in it. Like we get to travel, we get to have a quiet household and do our devotionals in quietness. Yeah, just all the things. But it's taken time to get, for me personally, it's taken time to get to the place I am.
Yeah. And, you know, of that time in singleness, there's so much time for volunteering. There's so much time for service. Something I've been observing lately is there's a sense of animosity towards the expectation for service. Like somebody who's single, they're like, oh, of course I'm going to be the first one picked to volunteer for this because I don't have a family. And it's just like a poor me and like kind of, you know, I don't want to say beating the dead horse, but just like, you know, reopening a wound of just like, oh, you know, you got the time, you know, you don't have a life, you know, and it's like not about not having a life at all. But I think that's a perspective to be cautious about, because in your singleness, you should be finding ways to volunteer your time. You should be finding ways to serve, because you know what? When you're married, it's about service, you know. That time to yourself is gone. So if you're going to be selfish with your time in your singleness, that's going to carry over into a relationship, and that's not going to be healthy, about being selfish with your time and how you spend your time and how you voluntarily serve and love others. So, you know, in singleness, even if you don't have the time, you know, the time can be found. I mean, I was working full time on a farm, 60 plus hours a week, and I still led Young Life. I was half awake for the entire time, 3.5 years. I've said that many times in this podcast, but it's true. You know, when you find that volunteer opportunity, God can really give you the strength and the motivation and energy to be able to accomplish that. And there's a lot of joy to be found in that. But that is, you know, back to my original point, that's something that's kind of irked me a little bit, and I've realized how it can be toxic, being an overused word that I try to avoid. It's an unhealthy trait and an unhealthy perspective to loathe the idea of service and being the one asked to volunteer for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so a couple things on that too. When you had brought that up, I do remember when I was teaching on the east side of Michigan, one of my colleagues and good friends had said, knowing that I was single and a new teacher, so, you know, you want to give and give and give, but she also told me, like, it's okay. Other teachers have families that they go home to, and it's okay to say no, basically, of not, like, overly giving yourself so you burn yourself out too.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, no. As a teacher in like education in general and other jobs too, but that's what happens because we don't feel like we're doing enough. But it is that balance, and I will say, looking back on my journey of, I just started kind of boundary work to the last couple of years, but that is important. And that does include serving, and serving can look in different ways too. You know, I serve every day with kids and praying over someone, you know, like different ways to serve. And you have to find what fills you up as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And going back to Tom, to what you said of, you're serving as a married man now, like you are serving. It's almost like as a single, we get to serve others in a different way. And when you get married, and maybe this is a question for you, Okay. Do you feel like you have to, or not have to, but you're serving your wife first and mm-hmm. then you're able to serve others? It's almost you have to have that mindset. I don't know. I guess that's a question.
No, absolutely. You know, I have to look at it as where I prioritize my time and where I prioritize mm-hmm. my ministries. You know, I love this podcast, but it's, I would say, my number two ministry. You know, my family is my number one ministry. I have to make sure I'm leading well. I have to make sure I'm providing well. And I have to make sure I'm caring well and loving well. And so it's – and did I say loving twice?
No.
Even if I did, it's super important.
If you did, it is important.
It is super important. It's that important. But, yeah, like I have to make sure, you know, I love the new dynamic of the podcast where we have more hosts, because for one, that does enable me to not be tied in quite as much. Although, like, recording this episode, man, I just love being on an episode. Like, I love doing this time and time again. But it does allow me to make sure I am focusing on my family. It does allow me to still have this ministry continuing, which I feel is important to speak to singles. And yeah, my family is my number one ministry. The podcast, it's pretty strong at number two. And I help in my church youth group. That's number three. You know, I have no shame in saying that I feel this is the ministry that's most important for where I am right now. But that's kind of where I look and how I prioritize the way I spend my time and what I'm doing.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, Stacey, when it comes to part of your title, you know, catfishing is in there. Mm-hmm. What do you think is a main cause for people like yourself to be catfished? Like, what's the root of that issue?
Oh, that's always the question. Mm-hmm. Really is. So one root I found out was, okay, so when everything surfaced, 2 days later, I met my life coach / therapist, and we've been together for 7.5 years. But she kept saying to me, we had met that night for 2 hours, and she had me say on repeat, "Stacey, you're safe and you have all your money." And I didn't know that. I didn't understand what she was getting at. I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, I have all my money. But a lot of these catfishing experiences, they scam you for money. And that's what you hear a lot of. And it's not just young people. And that's what I feel like part of my story to share out is for parents. Technology is, it's a great thing, but there are lots of like hidden pieces behind it. And it does, in my opinion, doesn't get talked about. So it's for parents, it's for our elderly. Mm-hmm. They're vulnerable to get scammed as well. Yeah. And I've heard stories of this, of someone who might have lost their spouse, connects mm-hmm. with someone online, and next thing they know, they're sending money to overseas because it's that vulnerability piece and they just don't get it. And so I found myself, I grew up, I had a wonderful childhood, and I go through the structure of the book is the event happening, but then I go through and explain a little bit of what kind of led me to that point. Mm-hmm. And I grew up, I have a wonderful family and supportive, and I grew up in I'm not afraid to say it, like a bubble. And it wasn't until I moved away and things opened up that I wasn't in my bubble anymore. And I was pretty naive and innocent, and I wanted to be loved. And so I went online and started talking to this guy, and it all evolves from there. But I don't know, in my situation, I don't know the reason behind it, because thankfully this person did not take or ask for any money. Mm-hmm. I lost a lot of time, mm-hmm. energy.
A lot of emotion poured into that too.
What's that?
a lot of emotion pours into that too. Like it really messes with you internally.
Yeah. The emotional and mental abuse. And I name it that now because there's a lot of gaslighting, manipulation, hurt. And it's like, you just go inward because anytime you speak, you feel crazy. I mean, I felt crazy and this person made me think that I was, and it was like an endless cycle. So I think motive of why people do it probably varies. And there's a, so my life coach had told me about this documentary a handful of years ago now, and I knew I wasn't mentally and emotionally ready to watch it. So actually this past summer before going to Finland, I watched it, and it's the Manti Te'o documentary, and it's a 2-episode documentary, and it's fascinating because Manti Te'o from the get-go explains that he has a solid foundation in his faith, and right away I connected with that. And to see him and he was in the spotlight, right? But then to hear the other side of this person, it's just fascinating. Again, this person didn't take any money.
Yeah.
It's wild. It is a wild, when I really think about it, and I just felt so held captive.
Yeah. And I've seen the catfishing happening in my time in retail banking. And you know, you see it in their accounts, you see the transactions, and you're trying to help them, but they're very convinced that this person loves them. And even though in their heart they know it's not true, they still move forward because they want to believe it for themselves that it's true. And I feel like a foundational part of that on why it's a problem is they prey on the lonely, they prey on the desperate. And when people aren't doing their singleness well, they're going to be lonely, they're going to be desperate, and they will be seeking out that attention. And when somebody is willing to give them an attention, they'll do what it takes to keep feeling like they have that attention. And so that's why I really feel like, you know, I feel like there's just a long line at the door when it comes to dating advice. And people always want to be told how to date and how to meet that person. But I feel like there's a pretty short line of people that are like, I want to learn how to do my singleness well. Because, man, when you can do your singleness well, it makes you much more attractive. Josh and I did an awesome episode about that. I love that conversation. But you're more confident. Life is just better. It's just a higher quality because you're getting so much more out of it. You're doing more incredible things. You're less worried. There's less pressure. Anytime you do go and meet somebody, anytime you do go on a date, you don't feel like it's the end of the world if things don't pan out the way you want it to, because going back to singleness is just not a scary thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where, man, I just want to be able to help people do their singleness well, because that's so foundational. It's going to help prevent them from getting into traps, traps like that. And it's so important to me, that's how I don't know if you would agree with that or not, as far as that being a underlying issue when it comes to the catfishing.
Oh, I mean, in my experience, yes. And I think a lot of, yes, I would agree with you on that. And it's easy. And I'm going to reference the book a lot, but I do.
Yeah, definitely.
I do write about this, of it's easy to hide behind a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And on both ends. And that was something that I had to sit with and learn about too, of, and grow in, of interacting with anybody, but also the opposite sex in an actual in-person setting. But now when you had said, Tom, of just when you are living in your singleness, you have a confidence that it really doesn't matter. Like, I am confident in who I am. And what came out of my, a little flash, I just went out with some friends downtown Grand Rapids, they have this downtown market for Christmas time. And mm-hmm. I was looking for them. And I later found out my friend Haley said, you came out of the doors and you just, sorry, I'm a heavy empath. So if I tear up,
okay.
She said, you came out of those doors and you were glowing. You just had mm-hmm. such a confidence. And that was 2 weeks ago. And sometimes you need to be surround yourself with community that sees mm-hmm. that in you and shares it with you.
That's good. One thing I wanted to kind of touch on, just as you're talking about like catfishing and just kind of the aspects to it, it is almost just like a bad relationship because it has the same effects that you can have with someone face to face. Where there's manipulation, there's this level of this is who they say they are, but they're not. And how often do people get catfished face to face, right? This person said this, you know, this is who they thought they were, and then they're not, right? And I think one thing I wanted to kind of just touch on is I don't think that, again, you know, Tom, you kind of talked about like the loneliness and desperation can lead to that, but I don't think that's always the case. I think it's this, we have this innate desire for relationship mm-hmm. and it doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy, but people, it's the, you know, that desire when someone stewards it well can lead to a great relationship mm-hmm. and that, you know, on the other side. So if someone's protecting it and saying, oh, this person's looking for a relationship and I'm going to protect that desire in them, it can lead to a healthy relationship. But if someone else sees that desire and preys on it, and really takes advantage of it. Like, cause I think oftentimes like with singleness, there can be this long, you know, you talked about a long list of dating advice. There can be this long list of what you're doing wrong. This long mm-hmm. list of X, Y, and Z of why you're not ready for a relationship and all these things. And, it's dangerous to again, there's validity in that, but I think in singleness, it's so easy to get just in a spot where you tear yourself down because, man, these are all the reasons why I'm not good enough or why these relationships didn't work out. And I think it just comes down to being human and wanting a relationship. And we live in a fallen world. And I think we can take those opportunities to say, yeah, how do I guard myself against this? And I've seen how, you know, the same situations that can, you know, lead to catfishing can just lead to bad relationships of, man, I really want a relationship. So I know this person and I know they're not a good fit and I'm going to go against my better judgment. Because I think we can look at a situation like catfishing and make it such a different situation when it's so normal, when you really get to the root of it. And it goes down to, I think confidence is key. You know, as a single person, can you, you know, stand in a room alone? Can you walk into places and have that confidence? Because I know in my own life, when I don't have that confidence, I'm more likely to put myself in situations, in a sense, to get catfished by people, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, if it's just face to face, right? I'm more vulnerable to wanting someone else fill a void in me where I feel insecure. And again, we talk about it, you know, thriving and singleness. It's about being whole as an individual. Mm-hmm. And that is so key. But that's just something that kind of, when we're talking about catfishing, it's like, I think a lot of people get catfished face to face in relationships. You know, they get sold. In a sense, they believe what someone's showing them, even though there might be signals that it's not quite what they think it is.
Well, you have like your blinders on, too. Mm-hmm. And that is what you're saying is how the next sections of my book is, or our book is the rebuilding part. But I go into the two serious relationships I had after that. And they weren't healthy, but again, I wanted connection. I wanted to be in a relationship and I was going to do anything and go back to this person a few different times. And it's not healthy. So I do agree with you on that. And you saying all you did, Josh, it makes me wonder, do we do a good job, I guess, good job around really showing and modeling what a healthy relationship is?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the sad reality of the divorce rate, how oftentimes are people looking for a relationship, period, over healthy relationships, right? Mm-hmm. How often do we, and again, we've talked about this many times, because we don't promote healthy singleness before healthy relationships, we don't get healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Because we have unhealthy people in relationships, which means we have unhealthy relationships. And again, I think this goes back to, we just don't have a vision for single people to be healthy. We only have a vision for people to be healthy in relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. Yet that's, none of that makes any sense to me. I try to be a very logical person, but if we only try to help people once they're in relationships, it's very obvious that we're just going to try to, we're going to be stuck really spinning our wheels trying to fix broken relationships when at the core of it, there's broken people. And we had a chance when they were single, but we were just trying to push them into relationships because mm-hmm. we didn't know what else to do with them. And for some reason, it's easier to help people once they're in relationship. I don't know why, but that's, to me, it's, you know, when's the last time you had, you know, relationship advice or like a conference or something that was about relationships for people, but you didn't have to be single or married to go there and hear it, right? Like there's no requirement, right? Like we have singles conferences, but it's, oh, how do you, you know, dating and all this stuff. But it's like, how can you be healthy as an individual in a relationship? Like that is almost irrelevant to what your relationship status is. But we save all that until you're married and we put people in that box, in that conference once they're married. Cause, oh, we can apply this when there's like, you know, it's like it starts with you as an individual. And again, we've talked about it many times about the aspects to it, you know, confidence and just surrendering to God, what's on your heart, a lot of things. But to me, it's if we started with, hey, you're single, let's kind of not focus on your singleness. Let's focus on you as an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, what do your friendships look like? What does your family relationships look like? That will be what your marriage looks like. You can't have this magic marriage and all these other bad relationships at the same time because you're the person at the center of, you know, all of those. You're the common denominator of all your relationship conditions.
Yeah. I hope this doesn't open like a can of worms, but I actually have an issue, maybe not an issue, with church, within the church, calling singles groups. And so what you're talking about, Josh, of, I love how you worded it. And I love how you said to put people together in a room to become their healthiest selves and putting singles and married couples and even married couples could be split and be in a group. But to be siloed, and I've tried singles groups. Let's just leave it at that. I've tried, and yeah, I could go on a whole.
I'm just going to grab the popcorn because you brought this up to just the right person, and Josh will totally talk this one through.
This is what my book was on.
That's what his book is about. This is his book.
This is my book in a nutshell.
Oh. Yeah.
100%. Like it's basically, yeah, you opened up the can of worms and I'm like, that looks very appetizing. Because again,
go for it. Just
I guess in a nutshell, to not go too far, if we can't have a vision for healthy single people in the church, we're missing out on having a vision for people in the church oftentimes because, you know, Jesus was single and for some reason Jesus wouldn't fit in the church nowadays because he wasn't married. And to me, it shows that we're falling into this trap of always having to label things or putting things in boxes. And for me, you just look at like what Jesus did when he came to this earth is he looked at every label that was on every single person and looked right past it, found the person and met them where they're at. And as the very body of Christ, we choose to look at the label, choose to reach them because of their label and not despite of it. And the sad reality is the single population in church is like in the 20 percentile or like 20% of the church is made up of single people. Yet the population, like the adult population, is in like the mid 50s. So we are choosing because single people don't fit in the church. We don't know what to do with them. Every singles ministry is cringeworthy almost. You know, I've been a part of conversations of, oh, what do single people need? And that's where it comes into. Single people just want to be a part of the church. They don't want to be separated in the church in which they want to be a part of. And again, this is where, as humans, we love labeling, we love categorizing, we love putting things in a place where we can understand it. And that's where our downfall is God's vision for the church is not something we can understand or something we can create a plan for. Mm-hmm. Because once we do that, we have our own religion that we make. God wants to say, hey, follow me today, and then follow me tomorrow, and then follow me the day. Like, let's do it this way. And I think singleness is such a unique thing that we can't make a ministry for, because it's almost impossible, because it's like you're trying to make a ministry for the entire world, because there's just individuals. And you're trying to find a common thread between them all and try to put them in a box. You're like, I don't know what to do with. None of these people are even alike. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's easy to have, you know, married ministries, youth ministries, because there's a commonality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we really lose out on the beauty of the body of Christ, when we put everyone in groups. Because just because you're married and you're around a bunch of married people doesn't mean that you're a part of that area of the body with them. You know, we're putting feet with hands and hands with feet. And like, it's like we're messing with the structure of the body. And again, I'm trying to put that in a nutshell, but that's like where we, I think, fall short, because single people don't fit in what the church is trying to do with single people. And I don't think we're supposed to, because I don't think there's a biblical spot and how we're trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to step in as like the married in the church scene right now, where it's like, I honestly feel like lately I've had this internal struggle with the podcast, with the mission of the podcast, what I'm trying to communicate, because man, I want everybody to do singleness well. I want them to just chase after what God has in front of them, do incredible things in their lives and just fully embrace what God has for them. But also, it's like, you know, I've been married for almost 10 years, and it is wonderful. It is beautiful. And as much as I want to encourage each and every one of you in your singleness, man, I want this for you too. Like, this is a wonderful, beautiful thing. I don't do this as a podcast, as a danger sign to stay away from marriage, because I want to speak to each and every listener that has that desire for marriage in their heart. Mm. You know, do your singleness well. I want you to fully explore that, but I still want this for you too. Mm-hmm. And so I know the marrieds in the church, they have nothing but good intentions. You know, when they're trying to put single people together, absolutely, they're hoping something beautiful happens. You know, a chemist in a laboratory just putting chemicals together to see what blows up. I mean, it's something that where, you know, they hope to give opportunity, not as a fix, but as finding something that they found and they found to be beautiful. So that is something I constantly internalize. Mm-hmm. I hope people recognize that it is a constant struggle. I want to encourage and inspire people in their singleness. I don't want to overdo it in the sense that singleness becomes the pursuit. I want them to pursue God, and if they see somebody running alongside them in that, then wonderful. You know, there's something beautiful to come out of that. But yeah, it's something a lot of churches don't get right, you know, and it can be difficult. It can feel like you're just be putting into a box. And so many of our listeners feel like a lot of the other singles have kind of left without them. So it's like, you know, everybody else has been paired up and then they're left behind. And then what do you do? So like, everybody's been in a place in the church and they've done the young adults and they've met people, but that now it's like, you're too old for young adults. And so it's like, you're just kind of with the marrieds and so it's a, where do I belong? It's a constant, internal battle, in addition to the feeling of like, why hasn't this happened for me yet? Mm-hmm. It's difficult. And you know, and that's where, you know, churches, they need guidance in that sometimes as well. You know, if it's something you feel like your church is not doing, there needs to be a conversation. Hey, this is how I feel as a single person. You know, don't just get mad and leave the church. Talk to the people that are in charge of the groups and how they're laid out, and say like, hey, you know, I'm not sure if you realize that this is kind of how it feels to be in this position and have these groups put together. Don't just approach with, hey, here's what problem I see in this, but be prepared to offer some solutions. And hey, you know what? That's a pretty good opportunity to step in and volunteer to mm-hmm. provide some acts of service and participate in your church and be a leader in creating something that's healthy in your church for singles, for marrieds, for people to have good fellowship in all different backgrounds. Because, man, you know, there's so much wisdom that singles can glean from those who are married, and you don't want to separate that. You do want to include that all together. So that's my take. Don't get mad at the church. They're trying.
Absolutely.
They really are. They really want to help you find something beautiful, and it can be tough to find the right direction on that.
Mm-hmm. I have a Christian mentor, and it was totally God of how we had met. It was a bed and breakfast that her husband randomly just found it one night, and I was there with my mom. Anyway, we started connecting because she, of course, lived in the Grand Rapids area, we've come to find mm-hmm. out. And we did this book study on the book Seven Myths About Singleness by Sam Alberry. And what I loved doing it right along with her. She's married, she's in her 70s. But what I remember her really saying to me is, you know what, Stacey, this has really been helpful to me as well, because although she's been married for, I don't know how, let's say 30 some years, tomorrow, God willing, like, her husband could not be here. And then she's living in a widowed singleness time again. And so to be able to be in community, and I think that I've been trying to like name it of what my vision for a ministry would be, but it would be to be in community, to not just be siloed of singleness and couples and, or even just like a women's small group, but I want to learn from men who are married, men who are single, women, same thing. But it's that coming together as a church. And I think of just Jesus meeting anybody and everybody on the way and being in community with them and getting to know them as people and vice versa. So yeah, if that's a really good book, and I really, because that's another, depending on what books you read and resources, sometimes you can get a little pigeonholed too, but this one really, really was good. And it was shorter. I'm a short book girl, and mm-hmm. was just really well written, and I just liked what he had to say in it.
And I just want to circle back just to kind of, I guess, finish my thought, because none of this is a bashing of the church, because we are the church, yeah. right? You can't say, oh, all these things are wrong, and then sit in the church and then be like, I'm right, right? Like that's mm-hmm. we're all a part of it. Because I think we can't just point fingers at each other. We can't point, you know, single people pointing at married people pointing at single people. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all people. Like that's, we need to drop any type of labels and say, what is God calling me to do? Mm-hmm. And if I'm a single person, he's calling me to love people. If I'm married, he's calling me to love people. And it's like, it's almost too simple. Jesus loved people despite what other people, or despite who other people were telling him to love. He just said, no, I need to love people. And that's, I think, the heart behind this is we need to stop trying to love people because of their label and just because God told us to. And I think what happens is we don't like doing that, because with a label, we can kind of figure out how to love them. And it might not, we can say, okay, well, how messy are they going to be to love? Because mm-hmm. I think that really comes down to it. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to actually love people where they're at? And there is there a blueprint, you know, when we feel like there's a blueprint to love them a certain way, it's easier. Oh, I can, I'll get myself into this. And God's like, no, I want you to love the people that are hard to love. And the reality is everyone's hard to love. But with God, we can love people. And I think for me, just the vision of the church really is just the body of Christ, right? And the application of that is loving people in the midst of their mess. And unless we start there, if we start with labels, if we start with things that maybe we think will help us love people, I think it just puts up barriers. And I think with singleness, it's just a good example of how detrimental labels can be to actually reaching people. And again, it starts with every person. It does, you know, it doesn't start with single people saying, hey, this is how you should love us, and you know, mm-hmm. it, none of that. It just starts with, hey, how do we actually love people where they're at, and are we willing to do that? Because if we're willing to do that, you know, it's not, like you said, Tom, you said love twice, right, earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, it's important. It is the thing that we're called to do. Mm-hmm. And if we're making conditions to our love and why we love people, then we're on a path of failing miserably. Mm-hmm. And we need to, you know, just as Jesus did, he loved despite labels. He loved irregardless of them, or regardless. That's anyway, that's a, those two words are the same. But anyways, yeah, just the love, you know, are we trying to love people because of something or just because we're called to? Mm-hmm. I'll end with that because
no, yeah,
that's trying to keep it short.
No, that's good. And that's, I'm going to add on to that of, I always say our job, my job is to spread his light and love. That's like my mm-hmm. saying to everyone. So how do we lean in to do that in a loving way? And sometimes that just means to listen to others and have conversation yeah. and communication. And going back to being healthy in your singleness, maybe that might be an area you might consider digging deeper into, especially because of our society being so heavily on technology and texting. And I see it every day with our upcoming generations, with our kids. It's scary is what it is. And so to really model and build that communication and healthy conversation is important.
So, yeah, I think we'll have to land that plane right there. I think this is like, it's so easy just to, there's so much more in this we haven't even unpacked yet. And I would just love to talk more. Gotta respect the listeners and their time. I really appreciate them, you know, joining us for this full episode here. But what is a way that we can be praying for you, Stacey?
Oh, thank you for asking. Honestly, I have really been praying even before the book was released for God to just put our story in the hands that need it. And for hearts to be softened and just reality seen. And I think the main thing is whose ever hands are touching this and eyes are reading it, that they see God's light and love shining through in whatever yeah. aspect. So I think that is my prayer, and it will continue to be my prayer, because there's a lot of lost sheep out there, and he will not yeah. leave the lost. And so my prayer and hope is people to connect where they need it the most and see that he is there every step of the yeah. way, no matter what.
Awesome. And then could you share with us a favorite verse or a verse that has been on your heart lately?
Honestly, what really comes to mind right now for me is, this is so random, and I know it's a God thing. So a few weeks ago, I was in church, and right after we were done worshiping, it was like a blast. Revelation 12 came into my mind. And I was like, Revelation 12. I haven't done a lot of reading in Revelations. So I sat down, and it's the woman and the dragon. And I knew I needed to read it when I got home. And it just sums it all up. And so that has been one verse that really has, or not verse, but chapter that really has, I really connected to. And okay, so the one, I guess the verse is the armor of God as well. That has been with me. And another area to pray for me about is making sure I want to put on the armor of God every morning, especially with how vulnerable this book is. I want to make sure that I remember that his armor is around me and surrounding me, because there will be unkind things and maybe people mm-hmm. not understanding. So really the shield of faith. I love that verse.
Yeah.
With the flaming arrows, and it kind of ties all together, but yeah, that's probably it right now.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then how can our listeners find you on social media, as well as maybe locate your book?
Yeah. So I am on Instagram. It's just Stacy Shapansky. make sure you spell it right. And mm-hmm. also Facebook, same thing. And I have a website, www.stacyshapansky.com. So basically just my first and last name in every aspect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's spelled just like it sounds.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. So double, triple check it. But I value connection and relationship. So the mm-hmm. book is also on Amazon. My preference is for you or our listeners, anyone, to order it through me. And they can DM me mm-hmm. or email me. But I love a personalized message. I write personalized messages, and I also pray over the book. Of the copy that is being ordered. I think that's really important. And yeah, so those are some ways to connect too.
All right. Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you joining us for this episode. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Hanging out, talking with you. And yeah, I'll just be praying for your ministry moving forward. And yeah, it's been a blast.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful to meet both of you and be a part of this community and this podcast and just your ministry yeah. work now. Yeah. Thank you
yeah.
for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think sometime this weekend, you and Josh need to meet up and do a book swap. I think that's what needs to go down.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's cheaper than the shipping cost.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Rarity.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, everybody, thank you for joining us for this episode. We hope that you you like, subscribe, give us a solid rating, let us know what you thought about the episode, and be sure to tell your friends. If you know somebody who is single, looking for encouragement, direction in their singleness, let them know we're here. We're here to encourage and inspire, and we really hope that you find some incredible things in your singleness. So be sure to get out there, seize the day, maximize every chapter in your life. We'll see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Look for new episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.